Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
And we have so much more we want to talk about that was generated from last night.
Yeah.
So right. We don't want to forget it.
Right. I have to go. We have to go into like Paul Harvey mode.
I know.
Page one, you know?
No, whether. We did the right. Kind of. All right. Did you want to mention? All right. The bus thing.
We'll all right. So.
Okay.
Relatively minor thing, but yeah. I have to say, you know,
because yeah.
we were talking a little yeah. bit about sort of the problem of ideologues. So one of the, I thought one of the nicest little moments was during public comment, there was a representative person who's, I forget exactly his title, but it was
Wes Edwards, I don't have my notes, assistant manager, the MBTA in some kind of planning thing. He works with
yeah.
municipalities.
Right. So the thing is, like right now, kind of the, in addition to the, sort of the rail work, the, you know, the signal systems, everything that's really important mm-hmm. with the, right, like rail track or whatever, on the, as far as buses are concerned, mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been rolling out things like isolated bus-only lanes
right.
in various places, and it works in some places, it doesn't work in other places,
others.
Whatever.
Yep.
But, you know, it's sort of like, it's like just sort of the current big thing, right? And, you know, to talk about to people around Cambridge, sort of some of the activist community, it's sort of like, we must have dedicated this, we must have dedicated that.
Right.
You must have separated bike lanes, you have to do this and
mm-hmm.
that. And the whole notion that maybe there are some places where some things might work or
shared.
Maybe not work,
yeah, right.
or where maybe some things
mm-hmm.
should be shared, it's sort of, it's like removed from the conversation. So he was wonderful in that he basically
yeah.
said, look, maybe at some point these all can be accomplished within
the He mentioned
the
South Mass Ave problems, which... that's
yeah.
from here to the river,
right?
Right?
So there were two items. There was one that had to do with DCR roads,
right.
you know, putting in separate lanes on
right.
Gary's Landing. By
right.
the way, Mayor Siddiqui and Jivan Sabrina Wheeler, the man's name was Gary Elbridge.
Oh, right.
Gary. It is Gary, not Jerry.
All right. Well,
all right.
Not just those two. Everyone
I know. A lot
it.
Of people
okay.
do it that way. But, like, you know, like, talk to Councillor Simmons. She appreciates history.
All
it's
right.
true. So Gary's Landing Road
yeah.
is which is what most people just think is part of the end of Freshmont Parkway in
mm-hmm.
there. But anyway, that you know, so there was a plan to put in a two-way bikeway, which I think is absolutely a great idea there because of the speeds and safety issues. It's just the right thing to do. But right now, it's kind of temporarily off the table. It'll eventually happen.
I don't think buses go anywhere near there, though. It's a separate issue.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But then there was another one that was sort of related to bike lanes
right.
and bus protecting bus lanes
right.
having to do sort of generically and including Massachusetts Avenue.
Right.
And so this fellow from MBTA.
Wes Edwards.
He mm-hmm. was, he basically said, okay, yeah, this is great. You know, we're definitely thinking about
you
this.
See that in the future, but right now.
He's,
yeah.
you know, he was acknowledging that in fact, in some places, like I think along Mount Auburn, I think the pilot they did with the protected bus, the separated bus lanes or bus
oh,
only
from
lanes
Watertown?
Has been relatively successful,
yeah.
I think.
Starts in Watertown.
Right. But
yeah.
the thing is, remember, we're also
yeah.
talking about two lanes,
right.
and
right.
and
a
there
lot
was
more.
Never any parking to take away along there
That's
anyway.
That's true. Always
right?
works easier that way.
Yeah.
yeah.
So the thing is, there are some places where there's a pretty good
mm-hmm.
chance of these things working.
Yes.
There's some places in Boston where these things actually can work and make some sense.
But there's been complaints, too, around the Harvard
complaints.
Street and Alston, yeah.
Right. You know, I'll say that, you know, they made the bridge from Cambridge over to Union Square, Somerville, is now two-way for traffic.
That works so well.
I think it works great, but the
oh,
thing
but
is that
it's
one lane
yeah.
now.
Oh,
it used
going
to be
out
three.
Of Cambridge is bad.
And
yeah,
if anybody
true.
Thinks that
yeah.
hasn't been
a, bottle,
you know,
yeah.
a bottleneck that's been running its way all the way back to
I
Central
just like
Square.
It going back into Cambridge when I've come from
yeah.
Mystic Parkway
yeah.
or something. Yeah.
But the
you're
thing
right.
is that but you're sitting there and there is
mm-hmm.
a dedicated bus lane on the bridge that is empty 99.9%.
Yeah. Which is what it's
going
to be on River Street. I hate to say it,
right.
and I know that's going to be
I know,
a bus,
I know. But, you anyway. Know, I think that
Mass Ave's different because your bus is coming all the time.
But he acknowledged, and
yeah.
I actually have heard people, even city
yeah.
officials, acknowledge that the South Mass Ave bus bus only lanes that they have between Central Square heading down toward MIT.
Which is what he's referring
have
to.
Have not really been all that successful. Yeah.
And he said that. Right? And I think he knows. He works
but
for the
But if
MBTA.
You're an ideologue, you don't want to hear that because don't you know we have to have this and we have to have that and practicality.
And now, versus,
exactly.
So he was saying have it to be shared until we can resolve this.
Right.
Wasn't
so I found it very refreshing to have people
somebody
actually
else
coming
like
up
that.
There and say,
yeah.
look, come on, be serious. Because in my view, actually trying to, if you want to have separated bike lanes, mm-hmm. bus-only lanes, as well as some other motor vehicles passing through Central Square, there's only so much road width to work with.
So
and if you can't wrap your head around the notion about sharing buses and bikes, let's say, and I'm not saying what should be, you better at least have that option up for discussion. And, you know, otherwise, it's just ideology driving all the decisions, and it's just ridiculous at some point. So, anyway, so that was
so
one.
So that was
thing.
That. Let's do let's do the broadband maybe quickly,
and
then and
actually,
do,
so there are two issues that I think actually are kind of going to end up being intertwined, like it or not.
Oh.
So one is the city manager
contract.
You know, sent a message to Councilor Simmons, as head of the Government Operations Committee, a few weeks back. It was referred, and they had a hearing now on the first of what I assume will be many hearings, having to do with possible extension of the.
Because he has a 3-year contract, which is up when.
They had to give notice this year, and then it will be up next January.
Okay,
so
we're
in the last year of the contract.
Right. Right.
It was like a 4.5 to 5 year
okay.
arrangement, but you know, time flies.
You're, you're kidding.
You
it's been that long? Wow.
Yeah. And so I actually went to a portion of that hearing. I couldn't stay. I had to.
It was in the Ackerman room, so it wasn't televised, was it?
Yeah, I had to go to work.
But it wasn't televised.
It was. No, they actually moved it from the Ackerman room.
Oh, they did.
To the Sullivan Chambers.
So they could
so
televise
it is recorded.
It?
You can check out
I
the video.
I didn't realize that. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. In fact, I actually did check out the video some
so
further
anything,
last night.
All right, so that's an issue there because they're discussing his.
Right, so the, so he, so here's why. So these are the issues that I would say are actually intertwined. So it is inevitable when a manager's contract is coming up for discussion that city councilors are basically going to say, well, now's our time for the big ask, okay? Because now we got you over a barrel. If you want to keep your job, you know, this is the time we can put the pressure on that we might not be able to do so otherwise. So yes, that might include things like give us full-time city council aides, which I think is absurd, but so you'll hear about that, I'm sure.
Oh boy.
And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Louis caves and says, go right ahead, you know, because of the promise that maybe he'll get 5 out of 9 votes to continue. You know, I'm not suggesting exactly quid pro quo, but that
okay,
is part
so
of how it works.
The other
and then and but there are other big asks that are not nearly as selfish.
Did this come up at all in that meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so there are two things that are very notable that came up. One is that and I could just see this coming like a freight train.
Oh yeah.
It was that there's been a few years where you know, some people who had been involved in this broadband task force have been rather emphatic in their assertion that the managers pretty much ignored
a feasibility study. Right.
Now, let's be clear. There's a distinction between dropping a few $100 million on building a network and dropping, I don't know how much money in a feasibility
million.
Study.
Yeah.
But might
well,
be
hiring
less.
Consultants, I don't know.
But the thing is
what
it's,
costs. Yeah.
I think
it has to be done.
The consultant work is largely basically grabbing facts that have already been researched in other places.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I don't know that
so
that
could be,
has
to be. It could
be
less.
Expensive.
So it should be done, is what the point is. Yeah.
In my personal
opinion. So who brought
opinion,
that up in the, in the meeting?
Was it? There were several city councilors.
Yeah.
Mallon.
Mallon.
McGovern. Sabrina Wheeler. Yeah. I think Zondervan. But it's just one of those ones where
it's pretty universal.
If you want to make the case that somehow the city manager is not responsive, this is a pretty good way to attack them on it. So they were dogpiling on Louis based on the fact that
the
promise for a feasibility study hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I think maybe it would be a good thing to have a feasibility study, even if the conclusion is this is absurdly expensive, and by the time you build it out, all the technology will be so obsolete that you will regret having spent a dime. That's a possibility.
Right. Although some of the suggestions from the task force were that you partner with someone that's
done
this kind
of thing. I think that's the only way to do
it. Well, that's what hopefully this would look at.
You become best buddies with Google or whatever.
Oh, not necessarily Google. It was these other entities in Maine. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
The point is, you got to look at it and give some options.
Right, and feasibility studies is actually how you find that out, right?
So let's get it done.
I kind of wanted to do that. And if the conclusions are that that this is bad or good or whatever, fine, but do the study.
Okay.
So, but the thing is that's going to be held over. If Louis doesn't come back with that,
it
makes his contract extension.
So can we talk a little bit about the broadband? Because there's a lot of, and I have to go back, I've done extensive notes and research on this, because they kept bringing up in public comment, you know, these communities that have it, Chattanooga, Longmont, Colorado, blah, 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 Concord. Well, the one thing that they don't bring up is that if you want cable TV, which I know is a dying art, you're not going to get that through broadband. You have to still have somebody provide that. And in Concord, the last time I looked, people had a contract with Comcast plus the internet. And it ended up and maybe it was $50 less a month, but it wasn't cheap. You know. And Concord also owns their own utility. Let's not forget that. And if some of these places have... They own the municipal, they own the electric utility. And I'm just saying, you have to look at some of these
when
things.
People,
it's not just all good. Oh, look at all these places that are doing it. We're not doing it. Come on.
Right.
I'm not saying it can't be done.
A lot of these supposed comparables.
Not compare apples to oranges.
Counselors basically want to make a pitch, so they have their aides that go and find stuff. But you know, and they come up, in this city
it's
they
not
do
just
this aid.
I mean,
that.
This is longstanding,
but
this has come up before.
But the thing is that a lot of times these comparable cities aren't comparable.
Right. And also they might be part of a consortium. And also, you know, cable TV, the internet, whatever you want to call it, started in rural places because they couldn't get signals and all. So Longmont, Colorado, and comparing a population that might be spread out over 20 miles to one that's in 7 miles, I don't know. I'm just saying there's a lot of factors here. I don't want to hear any more about a lot of these other places. Let's just do something more, you know.
I just want to. I want to see the price tag. What is the
price
tag?
And also include
and
that
the nature of the proposal.
Because I have brought that up in meetings when I used to go to Upgrade. Well, what about the people that want to watch TV? What are they going to do? Now we're not all streaming, you know.
Yeah. So
well, I'd stream and watch TV.
So the way I look at it is that some sort of movement.
Yeah.
To at least get feasibility study.
I totally agree with that.
Is intertwined with the manager's contract.
And he's got to do it.
I just don't see it being any other way.
Yep.
So I imagine something will come of it.
Okay, so that's good. All right.
But the thing is that at this hearing, this Government Operations Committee hearing.
Yeah. What else?
And it's hard to judge exactly where the political posturing is coming from. But the thing is that Councilor Carlone. Basically, was up there saying, well, the issue I have, and I love Louis, and I'll probably vote for him, I'm sure. But, so everybody kind of wants to posture as how much they love affordable housing. So, you know, on the one hand, I sort of say, well, let's pass overlays, and the other people say, let's just generate a lot of money, or we'll do both, and then we'll fund everything so liberally that people's heads will spin. So Councillor Carlone actually was quoting the fact that Cambridge's tax rates are set in such a way that we are below our levy limit. I mean, we've been growing our taxable base when other cities
couldn't. We rely on commercial versus we have lower residential.
Well, not only that, but the thing is that we actually had some places where we could grow the tax base, and all that new growth was exempt from profit. 2.5 limits.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been using up whether it was University Park, North Point, various other parts of the city, have been basically getting grown up. Kendall Square, quite honestly.
Yeah, and?
So that all this new development came in there, so we were able to grow our tax base, so we never had to go near our levy limit.
Yeah.
Furthermore, because there was a skewing of the tax rates under tax classification, so that we could actually basically have 2/3 of the budget be supported. Not always 2/3, but, you know, in that neck of the woods by the commercial tax base. So then that relieves some of the tax burden on homeowners.
That's why we spend $28,000 or $20 on our kids a year.
Right. Yeah. So, but the thing is that if you are nowadays with residential property taxes climbing high, sky high, not taxes, but property values going up, right? Then we've been compensating for that by keeping the tax rates down so that the net tax levy is more or less growing more slowly. In other words, if your property value doubles, you'd have to cut the tax rate in half
right.
to get the same amount of tax. So the rates have been coming down to sort of match the growing valuations, whatever. But the thing is that we're at 68% of our levy limit. Boston, Brookline, Somerville are all at like 90
some odd
percent.
So he's saying we should go higher?
So Carlone's point of view is somehow we ought to, kick out the jams and let's just jack up the taxes sky high. I mean, there's no way that you could interpret what he said any other way. He said, we've left $1 billion on the table.
Except, that hurts someone that is not owner-occupied or owns other small property owners. It hurts them, condo owners don't pay that much.
If you're a long-term that's
and
another...
And he has brought that up,
dirty little secret is that condo owners get the sweetest deal because of the residential exemption. They get the sweetest deal anywhere.
And it could be a $2 million condo.
Right, but it would be very politically unpopular to actually demand fairness, tax fairness for condo owners because they'd have to pay a lot more, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well,
but the thing is I think people like Louis DePasquale and the people in the finance department, to their credit,
because they know this
counselors talking about having $1 billion left on the table that we could easily tax everybody for is one point of view, but people within city management have been very sympathetic. And in every year, in the manager's letter on budget time, makes it really, really clear that we don't want to basically be forcing people out of the houses by saying if somebody's just an older person living in a house and now their property values, they didn't need to have their property values go sky high. If you want to now start, saying, well, I'm sorry, Mrs. McGillicuddy, but that $8,000, will have to be $20,000 right now because don't you know, we want to fund all these wonderful things. Mm. That's a bit of a shock for a lot of residents in the city.
So maybe it should be seniors, assuming they're a senior. There's ways that you can deal with that.
But you can only do things when it comes to taxation within
can't
the confines
be that
of state law.
Good point. Yeah.
And there are certain kinds of abatements, and there are things where you can defer taxation so that when you die, your kids are the ones who will have to pay for it out of your estate or something.
Yeah.
But in terms of just sort of continuing living, in a reasonable way with a reasonable tax growth so you can plan for it and live with it, I give a tremendous amount of credit to the city administration for keeping a lid on that. I think we're growing our budgets a little too fast overall, personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even if people want to argue otherwise about that, fine. But I don't really think it would be a great thing, basically, to say just because we can tax people more, we should.
Yeah.
The budgets are not going down.
Yeah.
They are growing faster than inflation now.
Right.
So if you want, counselor, if you want to make the case that somehow that the budgets, even though the rate of inflation is, 2 or 3% or something, that somehow Cambridge's taxes and budgets should be growing at 12% a year rather than the 6%-ish that they're growing now, I'm sorry, you're not going to sell me on that idea. And I think if people actually started to
understand
that proposal, they would rebel.
Yeah.
Right
along with the AHO there.
So what will be part of the discussion on the manager's contract?
Yeah.
I think you're going to hear broadband
feasibility,
which is a completely reasonable ask.
And
then you're going to absolutely start hearing about why aren't we cranking it up and raising more and more and more and more and more and more and more to build more and more and more and more subsidized housing or whatever other projects they want to fund. There does come a point where it starts to become fiscally irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all about the AAA bond rating, though that does help in terms of funding various projects, capital projects.
Yeah.
But, man.
And it's not the library fines. Can we just segue right there?
Yeah, if we just jack it, we'll just raise up. Take some of those billions of dollars you left off the selling.
Yeah.
This way, I tell you what, don't bother to bring the books home from the library. Just take
it. I would just hope that that's a great idea.
I agree. All right. So what is the idea?
The idea is to eliminate fines because
a
lot of kids have not been able to use the library. I hope, I don't know how you remind the kids that their books are due. Can it be a general reminder? Because I do think it comes down to individual responsibility.
I agree.
You take something that doesn't belong to you, that's on a loan, you want to get it back. Either you, you know, so friendly reminders, I don't know how that happens, but do not just say it's just a financial issue, like these poor kids can't afford, they can't.
Right.
Yeah, it's eliminate the fines, but do not eliminate responsibility. That's
I think
all.
There is an issue about getting people
it
growing up in the
It teaches you time
city,
management. It teaches you lots of
and
things.
And responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so token fines, fine. But if we're talking about, you know.
Well, no, a one-time, just how are we letting these kids know that they have these books?
Right. Or maybe what we do is every resident of the city gets, 10 get-out-of-jail-free cards.
Oh,
okay, so
that's
you know,
true.
We
you
will,
can get
we'll
something
forgive,
free. Yeah.
We'll forgive your library fines.
Right.
You know, for but if you're chronic.
Yeah.
You know, or if you just taking
well,
it.
Well, I don't think it's chronic. I think that if you have a certain amount that you owe, you don't get to take anything out anymore. So I don't know. I'm just saying, let's just incorporate both. Okay. I just don't want to hear. There's got to be responsibility on everybody's side. So, and the other thing before you get, I know you want to talk about that. Just the big belly and issue of garbage and distributing, which I'm all for, distributing a trash barrel and hopefully one that would just, and this has been an ongoing discussion, I know, in DPW with the Recycling Advisory Committee, and you know, a lot of communities around Belmont, Brookline, all have limited garbage putouts, okay? And we said, we're going to go first with the compost. We're going to say get rid of it, because that will eliminate, which is true. So we went the other way. Instead of doing it's called pay as you throw it, really. We said, we'll do that first. Well, now is time. You put out trash. You don't have to put out more than 60 gallons or whatever. And that's like two garbage bins. So I'm all for getting rodent-proof bins, because people check your garbage bin. You know, when there's a hole in the bottom, that's how the rats get in. If you put food out there 3 days before your collection and not compost it, and granted, some people don't all compost.
Yeah, I've never been.
They're going to go.
I've never been a big fan of pay as you throw.
Well,
but what I think is a fan of, that's
trash.
It. Limited trash.
Don't call a pay because some communities had paper bag in a box. You don't have to do that.
So
just give them the barrel.
What I basically say,
the best thing.
You know, is because you know, listen, I live next to a place where they've got 12 barrels out.
And then
3 days after pickup,
they're still out.
They're still there.
I know.
You can call, do see, click, fix. You can call it. After a while, you just give up.
Well, that came up in some of these discussions. Is like, I forget who brought it up. Like, are we contacting absentee landlords? Because it's an issue.
Yeah,
it's
in
a
my
problem.
Case, it's absentee landlords.
And you're not supposed to put out stuff in plastic bags before until the morning.
Yeah.
It's so hard to enforce all this. So people just, you know.
Yeah, no, and we've had rodent issues and
rats like food. They
complete
like
mismanagement,
you know,
of waste management.
Yeah.
Just complete lack of it. You know, so I see it every day.
Again, it's individual responsibility. It's not all the rats' fault.
So what I would
they
like
have
is,
to eat, right?
No, I can't. Yeah, I will never fault a man or a rodent for looking for 3 square meals a day, and if elected, no.
All right.
No.
Okay.
So. Anyway, I like the idea of saying, listen, as a resident or as a household, you are allowed to put this much out.
And we'll figure it out.
And if there are going to be those occasional times
then
where
they pay for it. You get
you
an extra,
pay for it, or you could say, look, I have an exceptional situation this week.
Yeah.
Can I just make a special request?
Throwing out like a couch or something.
I mean, 10 reasons I actually have the same. We like this notion of Cambridge as a friendly place.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't always be drop the hammer.
Right.
You know? So the thing is that there are going to be certain circumstances where you've got to go a little above it. All right, you want to pay for it? Okay, it's one thing. But maybe can we just basically call
it's
in
and say
it's been
a very political issue. That's why they've never wanted to go there first. They went to the curbside compost first, which, you know.
It's just like we have with, like you're allowed a visitor's permit. But the thing is that if you are, if you're going to go... If you have guests coming over, you can contact traffic and parking.
People do it all the time.
And
you get
they
a
will,
special dispensation.
Yeah, and then
houses of worship get that.
That's
on
right.
Certain
so
holidays.
Cut you some
it's
slack.
Not right.
Yeah, you know. So I like a city that's a little
just
forgiving.
Yeah.
It's a little give and take.
Right.
You know, flexible. I think we're good with that. But I do like the idea of saying, look, you should not be putting routinely out every week. You know,
3 barrels of trash from a household. What's
absurd.
In there?
I mean.
If you really are recycling, if you really are composting, if you really are not throwing out clothing and things like that, your trash shouldn't be that much.
Shouldn't be that
much.
You know,
I mean, yes, if you have.
So I kind of hope we can find a kind of a humane, decent,
yeah,
sociable,
yep,
way of resolving this matter.
Right. And it's not elitist. Please don't go there.
I don't
there.
Think of it
no.
at all.
Trash
just,
is a universal thing that has
living,
to be dealt
yeah.
with. All right, so you quickly go on those.
The last thing
I
just
got to
mention here is that there was a city manager's response. There were people concerned about what's going to happen around the Lechmere area.
Oh, yeah.
So the thing is that the Green Line is going to get stopped over in Boston. They're going to have to, pretty soon, I think, they're going to have to shut it off.
Oh, right,
and
yeah.
replace it with buses coming mm-hmm. over the Craigie Bridge, or as some people call it, the Museum of Science Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a city manager's report on not only bus replacements, but various other issues having to do with that. I love hearing about it, Hope, because honestly, I'm excited
mm-hmm.
to be seeing Green Line extension actually
yeah.
happening. I'm excited at the prospect that at some point the steel viaduct coming over the highway will go away.
Mm.
First Street will go all the way, not only to McGrath O'Brien Highway, which used to be called Bridge Street, once.
Yeah.
But you can actually go directly across over to the North
Center?
Point area, so it'll help
North
bring
Point, yeah.
the newer parts of the city
mm-hmm.
into with the old. You know, and really just sort of a better thinking about that whole area. I mean, Galleria is going to get some rehabbing. The courthouse project will eventually happen.
Mm.
Things will happen down around Lechmere proper, but, you know, all the way connecting to North Point. And at some point, there is this great promise that the McGrath-O'Brien Highway will not feel like a big O highway so much as much as what we like to call
an
urban boulevard.
Will that be in
boulevard.
Our lifetime?
I think it will.
Maybe in yours.
Yeah. But, I actually find this exciting. People can, you know, argue about surveillance of laryngoscopes and bike lanes and whatever, but actually building cities and making
mm-hmm.
cities work well,
mm-hmm.
I do find interesting.
More use of public transit.
Yeah, and better connectivity,
yeah. mm-hmm.
even for people with motor vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are some.
You're not
going
to totally get rid of them.
Yeah. So I just think we can make this great, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I really hope that everybody stays on the ball and makes it
yes.
happen.
So is there, let's see, next week we do have
a meeting, and there'll probably be a couple of zoning petitions
passed. Oh, it's March 2nd already.
Week, so.
That's
see you next week.
See you. Bye.